Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Crawley.
Good morning. It is a joy and an honor to be with you this morning. And I wonder how this is going to go, because I have not been here before. So I don't know if you like me or you throw things at me. I don't know what you do in Crawley. So if you throw it, I try and catch it and throw it back. That's all right. Doesn't that picture look really cool? I wonder what it is. I'm like, submarine? Anyone else? It's not a tank. It's a boat. Ship. It's a ship, right? But look at those engines. Well, I guess they're engines. Anyways, they look cool. What do you think in your head your engine looks like? I mean, spiritually now. You know, Pastor Victor just said, we have an engine room, which is kind of, you know, our place with God, the Holy Spirit. But do you look at yourself like with those big, fat, glowing, like there's power in this engine? Or do you feel like you have a little motor that does zzz? I don't know. What does the little motor do? No one has thrown anything yet. That's good. Because one of the things I took away from Pastor Victor last week was, how do I look at myself? Because if I, you know, when the Israelites went into the promised land to have a look, they went in to just have a look, Numbers 12, 13, 14. And 10 of the 12, I don't know if some of you maybe know the story, 10 of 12 of them came back and they were just scared. They were like, I don't know how we're going to do that. I know God has spoken, park that. I don't think we can do it. That was 10, right? There's a good news. There's two that are, there are two good eggs in the basket. But 10 of them, and they, actually there's a phrase in Numbers and that says, we were like grasshoppers in our own eyes. I don't know, how big is a grasshopper? Something like that. In other words, if we link it, they were like, we only have that little engine. And they are like big guys. They've got whatever. But who knows, and I think you touched on it, Pastor Victor, last week, that when God appears to a man called Gideon, hiding away in fear, anyone who's been ever hiding away, kind of shying away from a conversation, or like, oh, I'm going to be quiet, I don't know, sit in the last row, or maybe not even turn up. But the angel appears to him, what does he say? Because he doesn't see him like a man that's hiding, does he? What does the angel say to him? You man of God, mighty warrior. So the angel says, mate, you've got big engines and you just don't know it. Yeah? Gideon, you're hiding because you think, you're like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? Little old me. And the angel's like, mate, you've got big engines. They might not have been activated, but they're right there. They look as cool as that. Or for the Israelites, 10 out of 12 were like, I don't think we can do it. And we've got a whole long list of reasons. Anyone else? Sometimes you've got a whole long list of reasons why you can't. But two of them were like, we saw the same giants, we saw the same cities, we saw the same stuff, but God has spoken, so why don't we go? And I can see Joshua and Caleb, they're called. I can see them go, guys, we might look small in the natural, but we've got God on our side. We've got big engines. Why aren't we going? And obviously, if you know the story, they had a bit of a 40-year circular time. Until all of those who were negative, they didn't make it. Those that were positive, they were like, you know what? We can't do it in ourselves, but we're going to trust God. After those 40 years, everyone else had gone. And those two and the next generation, they did it. I don't know about you. I want to be part of those two, not out of those 10. Amen? So I want to encourage you to, I want to share a few things that God has given me on this engine room series, whatever we call it, a couple of Sundays, few Sundays. But I don't want you to sit there thinking, that doesn't work for me, I've got a small engine. Even if you don't feel like it, just think of yourself like that, okay? Okay, yeah, are we together? Great. So I want to talk a bit about how to seek and to find God. Now, are we honest in this place? Are you honest people? I don't know. We haven't met, right? Not like that. Okay, can we all close our eyes? Because I don't want to embarrass anyone. But just to help me help you, because that's my job. It's not about me. It's about helping you. Every eye closed. Is there anyone who would say, and I will ask you to raise your hand, but in theory, every eye is closed, so it shouldn't be embarrassing. Is there anyone who would say, I find it really, really difficult to feel like I can connect with God? keep your eyes closed, okay? I don't want anyone to be embarrassed. Anyone here would say, I find it really tricky to feel like I'm connected with God. Okay, cool. Okay, hands down again, that's fine. Beautiful, thank you for being honest. Is there anyone who would say, I just don't know what to do? I would like to connect with God, but I just don't really know how to do it. Eyes closed again. But if that resonates with you, or half is okay, half is okay. Anyone like, I would like to connect with God, I just don't know how to. Okay, cool. Anyone would say, this sounds maybe a bit weird, they have this voice in their head just telling them, no, you can't do that. That's not you. Okay, thank you. Now, anyone here would say, yeah, I've got that sussed out. I'm having great times with God every day. Like, I'm loving it. Can't wait. Okay, also just a few. So there's a whole group of people in the middle. And while we have our eyes closed, Lord Jesus, we just come before you. I thank you that you know each of our hearts. You know each of our hearts. And you know that we do want to connect with you. You know that we do want to hear your voice. And we thank you that you made that possible. And right now we take authority, even before I share a few things here, we take authority over every lie of the enemy that says you can't. Every lie of the enemy that makes us feel so small and small engine and you can't, and there's all these reasons why God doesn't love you, why God wouldn't speak to you, or it might work for that person, it doesn't work for you. In the name of Jesus, we break those lies off and we silence them right now. Can we say amen? You can open your eyes because I don't want you to fall asleep. It is important that we agree with one another, okay? It says in the word that when someone's faith is strong, that's great. You're meant to help someone else. If your faith is weak, what should we do? What do we do when our faith is weak? Pray is good. Worship is good. Ask, thank you. I kind of was looking for that. Because, again, no one knows who raised the hand earlier, but some of those people might be like, I've tried that, and it half worked, or worked one day, didn't work the other. But God has not just put us in relationship this way, hasn't he? He's put us in relationship that way. It's called the family of faith. And something very powerful happens when I go, okay, I don't have to do it with Pastor Victor, right? But I go, can I pray with you? Can I just stand with you? Not out of judgment of saying, come on, you should really have that sussed out by now. You know, you've been around long enough. No, just to say, can I just be honest? And can we pray together? Can we stand together? Because what the enemy wants to do, and you probably all know this, you can watch an animal documentary and see lions hunting gazelles or something. The enemy always wants to isolate people. And sometimes he can't quite do it physically, but he can isolate you in your head. Oh, it's just me. Everyone looks really spiritual this morning, and it's just me. Firstly, it's not just you. But secondly, don't buy into that, okay? Don't buy into it's just me and I'm getting isolated. Actually, God wants you to bring you into the family, and maybe your next step is to share and to say, help me, let's pray together. Is that okay? There's this beautiful question in Genesis chapter 1 where God says to them, where are you? Anyone read first page of your Bible? Where are you? And I always find it funny because you can hear that in different ways, can't you? You can hear it like a school teacher's like, where are you? Why are you not here? And I don't think that was the tone of voice, even though my Bible doesn't have audio bits. But I hear it as, guys, where are you? And obviously we know in that particular moment, they had actually just closed the door to God. They were like, I know, God, you said not to do that, but let's just see what happens. Whatever, you know the story. But actually, whether we've just done that or whether we're just trying our best and doesn't quite work, just hear the Father, a good loving Father, ask that question, not in a condemnation way, but in an invitation way. Where are you? Come. Don't be ashamed. Come close. And I don't know about you, but, or maybe it's a men thing. Sometimes as men, we're not so good to open up. We're like, right, I've got this, I know what I'm doing. Come on, I'm a big guy. You know, not me particularly, but some of you maybe. But actually, it's important when we come before God, we come with humility. I was reading James quite a lot recently, and it talks about he gives grace to the humble. So whether you've been a Christian for a long time and you think you know a lot of things, careful with that. Or whether you're a Christian, not even a Christian, or whether you just gave your life to Jesus yesterday and you're like, I don't know much. Both of us, all of us need to come with, I just come. Just as I am, I come. And it's the humble that he gives grace. It's the humble that he reveals himself to. So how do we seek and find God? Well, firstly, it's an attitude. Because if I come with, I kind of know what I'm doing well, I know my religious things to do, you might tick boxes, but you might not have an encounter. But if you come with humility and say, God, in and of myself, I can't do anything. But your word says, through the cross, like we were singing, by the blood, the way is open, here I am. Keep it simple. My first scripture is going to come up on the screen. It's Jeremiah 29. Now, when we approach the word, I know you know this, but I'll say the same thing in a slightly different way, and you think, oh, that's fresh. It gives us a promise. But if we just read it like Gideon hiding away going, oh, little old me, and we think, oh, that's good, it's the holy word of God, but it's not me. Well, it's not going to do much for you, right? But if you go, well, that's in the Bible, so it's for me. Can you hear the difference of attitude? Whether you go, oh, that's over there, I can't reach that. Well, that's not God's intention, is it? The intention is, you know, God saying to his children, here's my word, take it, believe it, because by faith, you receive it, okay? So when we read this verse now, I want us not to go, that's not me. I want us to go, wow, I can have that and I'm having it. Okay? Anyone? Maybe sit up in your seat a bit. We're going to have good news now. So this is what God is saying. You probably have read it already. I'm going to just give a bit of context. Those guys are stuck in captivity. They've been carried away to a different country. They've been stripped of their possession. Just imagine losing your home. You're way in debt. People have taken everything from you. Maybe they've mistreated some of your family. For 70 years, they've been out in captivity. And then God says this. And I wonder if some of the guys went, nah, that's not going to work. But I'm sure some of them went, that's the word of God. So I want us to be those people. So in that place of tension and captivity, it said, God says to them, you will seek me and find me. Wow. Seek, I can do. Find, I need help. Okay? You will seek me and find me. What a promise. When you seek me with all of your heart. So here's another clue. Make mental notes, attitude of humility. We come just as we are. And then it talks about wholeheartedness. Because if I just come with, Jesus can have a bit of good feeling this morning because I need to have a good day. That's not wholehearted. That's, I don't know, a vending machine. That's not who God is. God wants relationship. He wants to walk with us. He wants to partner with us. He wants to go on this day with you, this adventure with you. But he wants a wholehearted friend. Do we want to be friends of God? Great. So here we go. You will seek me and you find me when you seek me with your whole heart, all your heart, whatever. I will be found by you. Can you just hear those words for your own heart? This is in the word. There's the reference. Look it up at home. Google it if you don't know how to find it. But God says in his word, in a place where they feel stuck and they're probably angry and maybe they've given up hope, and that might be one or two of us today, but God says, I'll be found by you. But what we need to do is go seek him with all of our heart, and his promise is that he will be found, declares the Lord. And then he has a whole series of things, and I just took the first one. It says, I will restore. Because what happens, and we're going to see that in a few minutes a bit more, when we seek him, he doesn't just bless us. It doesn't just sort us out. He needs to sort me out sometimes, and he does, and it's good. But I find my family gets impacted. I find my workplace is different. I find my creativity has a different flow to it because something happens in that place. We seek,
we find and he restores. So one thing I want us to take away from today is not just about what we do. You know, Jesus says, close the door, seek your Father in heaven. That's great. And hopefully I can give you some tools. But it's what happens out of that place that makes a difference. And that's fun. That's fun. Anyone want to have fun with God? It's fun. Yeah, you raise your hand. Have fun with God. How do we do that? This is our favorite word today. How? How do we do that? How can we have fun with God? How is this life fun, this Christian life? Any takers, suggestions, experience? How do we not walk around like sad Christians that are like, oh dear? Because sometimes we do, don't we? Have a humor, that's good. For me, one of the things, as I spend time with him, I know he's full of joy, says it in the Bible. In your presence, there's fullness of joy. So I take that scripture and like, right, that's obviously what your presence is like. Now, we all know this, right? And I'm saying a few basic things here because I think God wants to adjust some foundations in our lives. If I give you just this massive, amazing new revelation that might also feel out of reach, I want to give you some down to earth. Is that okay? But if in his presence there's fullness of joy and his presence is within me by the Spirit, where is his joy? Say that again. In me. If in his presence there's fullness of joy and his presence is in you, where is his joy? In you. It's not difficult. Sometimes we don't feel it, but do we actually engage with him? Do we pray prayers of joy? Paul says at one point, when I remember you in my prayers, I pray with thanksgiving, I pray with joy. I'm so thankful for you. He says, I think it's to the Philippians. So when we pray, sometimes we automatically go into, here's my list of the things that aren't working well. God, would you help? Okay, let's get on with the day. That's not the kind of prayer that's going to unlock some joy. Anyone want joy? Okay, so what you need to do, here's the recipe for joy. You get in your secret place, you close the door like Jesus says, and you say, thank you, Jesus. That's a good start. Because when we give thanks, I know for some of you, you've been around for a while, don't get tired of hearing this. Because I want to see that in your life. It's not about what you know, it's what you live and what others taste of you, right? By their fruit, you will know them. So are you living a life of joy? Are you living a life of thanksgiving? Just go through the list. And rather than writing all your prayer requests, write some thanksgiving. Write some, thank you, Jesus, this morning, this went really well. Thank you, Jesus, this morning, my coffee was really good. I'm genuinely thankful for that every day, every other day when I have one. Thank you, Jesus, for the people around me. And what you'll find, as you start giving thanks, it gets a bit easier. Because sometimes, especially when you don't feel it, maybe that's just me, I don't know, help me. When you don't feel it, you just don't want to do it. You're like, but this is one thing I want to suggest to you. Don't live according to your feelings. Think, I want to be like that, so I'm going to have to cross that bridge, right? I want to be a joyful person, so I'm not going to just sit here and be misery. My circumstances might be like those guys, captive, I feel locked in, Gideon's hiding. God says, come on, man, you've got big engines. Come on, let that joy bubble up. Give thanks. That's living by faith. That's not living according to what you see and feel. But can you see it takes a conscious step? You are where you are, and then you can make a decision. Am I going to step into faith? Am I going to thank God for his joy that is not just out there somewhere to be grabbed? It's right here. So thank you, Jesus, for your joy today. Thank you, Jesus. And then just go through a list, right? And it might help for you to write some things down. The one who's for me is greater than he who is against me. I know that sounds a bit basic, but when you said it three times, you start believing it yourself. You can preach to yourself. You don't need to be here on a Sunday morning and look as good as Pastor Victor. You can look good at home preaching to yourself in that mirror and saying, do you know what? Today's going to be a good day. Not because I feel like it, but God is with me. We're going to have fun today. We're going to speak to some people. I'm going to encourage some people. I'm going to see some lives changed. And I love how Pastor Victor pointed out in his message that even if you have certain struggles in your own family or in your own life, don't discount yourself for being a blessing to someone else. I had a thing for a long time, and I'm still challenged with that one of my ears doesn't work properly. So over the years, I've got a bit frustrated saying, God, why am I not getting healed? But you know what? I didn't realize over time, I also didn't pray for others. Because I thought, well, it doesn't work. My head is German, so I think quite logically about things. If my ear doesn't open up when I pray so much, why would I pray for someone else? And there's something that switched in me. And I'm still on that journey, but I'm happily on that journey now. but I'm still going to pray. I'm still going to pray. Otherwise, I'm just going to bow down to the next negative thing and the next thing. And can you see the spiral you can go? But there has to be a point when we rise up and say, but I'm going to pray anyways. I'm going to love anyways. And I'm more than happy pray for people. And you know what? I don't know why we're going on this direction. But I've also realized that sometimes I hesitate for praying because I'm like, what if nothing happens? But that's not faith. That's me going, have I got to lose something? What's he going to think of me? I'm just going to do it. Just do it. If it doesn't seem to happen in that moment, well, that's okay. We're all on a journey. But also, this is not meant to be about healing as such. But also, I just believe I'm giving him something of God. We've got to make our faith kick in, whether it's in the morning with thanksgiving and choosing joy, or whether it's saying, I'm just going to pray. I don't know. I'm not an expert, but I'm a believer, and believers shall lay hands on the sick. Shall we pray? What have we got to lose? I might be embarrassed. You're embarrassed. That's fine. What have we got to win? And whether it happens in that moment or whether it takes week by week and you're getting better, what do you think a good father would want us to do? A good father looking at a bunch of his kids, does he want us to go, oh, I'm not sure? Or what do you want us to go? Just have a go. Come on, just try. Just pray. Lay hands. Speak with joy. And what I've found in different areas of my life, whether it's joy or healing or faith or just a good attitude, as I choose something I don't see, but I choose by faith, my insight changes, my thinking changes. And somehow, the overflow of my life is a blessing to others. Do you want a blessing? Be a blessing to others. Not just in the natural, because in the world, you can have nice people. All of us know some nice people. They probably have also not so nice side to them. But as believers, we have a different power. There is a different engine, because without going too deep in theology, but someone who isn't a believer, who has not been come alive in Christ, Ephesians 2 says, we were dead in our trespasses. Those engines are off. If someone does not know God, and maybe you're here today and you're like, it still seems a bit out there. Well, if you have not given your life to him, the invitation is obviously there, just to say, the Bible says you are dead in your trespasses. That engine ain't working. But what we need to do is, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, is as simple as that. We say, God, save me. Save me. Save me. It says it in the word so many times. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The saving that he does, what do we need to do? The saving he does, what do we need to do? Call. So when we call, he answers. And it says, you are alive in Christ. Those engines, I don't know if we can do it, turn on. Can you go back to the first slide, Steve? Give us the engine turning on. Bang! Isn't that cool? Go back again. Do it again. Oh, sorry, this is just absolutely fun. Do it again. Bang! It goes on. Hallelujah. Is that okay? That's what happens with your spirit, man. Now, if that's what happens on the first day you're a Christian, how do you think we need to keep living? Because if we don't look after our engine, you know, there needs to be engine oil, all those things. I'm not a mechanic, but you just make it up. You know what I mean? We need to look after our engine, cultivate our walk with God. And that's what he says when he says, seek me and you'll find me. Now, how is your seeking God going? Where are you? We've talked a bit about that. Are you tired or are you inspired? Do you get refreshed or are you restless when you just sit with him? Do you find rest for your soul? Matthew 11, I'm sure many of us know this verse, but can we hear it with fresh ears today? Jesus says, come to me. All. How many is all? Wow, you're in that little word. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. Sometimes we feel like that. And you know what? Is it okay to be honest? Yeah, we're doing quite well, I think. Sometimes in my walk, it's pushed me away from God. I don't know if you found this. Maybe my head sometimes trips a little bit into religion and what I do and should do and haven't done. And when I've done so much and I'm tired, sometimes in the past, I think I'm getting better, but in the past, my reaction has been, I don't also want to pray now. It's another thing to do. Yeah, anyone? Anyone? No, maybe just me. It's okay. But what I've learned is I cut myself off from being refreshed. Because he doesn't give me the next list of things to do. He says, and I will give you rest. Wow, come to me. So maybe that's you as well. When it comes to how do I seek and find God? Just watch your mind when you think, oh, should I go pray? What happens straight away? And start changing that narrative in your mind. And just ask God. Ask another person next to you, with you in the family of faith. We can help one another, strengthen one another. Because the enemy wants to put some things in there that just keeping you away. But he's not saying, oh, here's another thing to do. He's saying, come to me if you're laboring, heavy laden. I will give you rest. And maybe just sit there and just read those words. Read them again. Read them again. Give thanks for them. You can start praying them. Just say, thank you, Jesus, you give me rest. Thank you, Jesus, because it's not what you feel. This is what the word says. And it works. And what happens in the same way I talk about joy, that rest is in your spirit. He's the Prince of Peace. Peace is in you by the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. Now that speaks of a journey. That means you haven't sussed it all out yet. That means, okay, let's journey together. Take my yoke and learn from me. It's like in that agricultural society, a more experienced oxen or animal yoked together with a younger one, right? Many of us would know this. But even if you've been a believer for a long time, we're still that younger one. But what happens? I know it doesn't quite work in the natural. If this is Jesus and you're yoked with him, what you find as you grow, hopefully, there's someone yoked with you. Yeah? Because we're meant to be disciples that make disciples. So also, it's not just about you growing. It's about you helping someone else grow. And then this is what he says about his heart. I'm gentle and lowly in heart. Now, I know God is powerful. He's majestic. He's awesome, right? But he's also gentle and humble. And even if you sit there in silence and go, God, I don't even know what to say. He sees you, he hears you, and he's like, I'm so glad you're here. Okay? So if you've struggled to spend time with God, I want to encourage you and challenge you, because we do need to choose certain things. Put yourself in that place. Maybe put a worship track on. Look up one of those scriptures I shared just now and just say, God, I'm here. I'm here and I'm going to keep coming back because I'm going to find you. Now, it's one of my last scriptures, and then I'll jump back in the middle again. But Matthew 7, verse 7 to 11 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you find. So if you go, I've tried it once, it doesn't really work, you haven't quite cracked it yet. Because the Greek tense in that verse, this last scripture on the screen, Steve, the Greek tense is an ongoing tense. You keep asking, you keep looking, you keep searching, and then you find. So I need you to already choose to keep doing it, okay? Somehow you don't look as excited anymore. But if you choose to, I'm talking out of experience, okay? And I'm sure many of us would have stories. But even if, because for some of us, maybe our walk have just become a bit dry and you might go through the boxes, but there's no life. Even in that, come with humility, say, God, I want new life. I need to be revived because this is meant to be fun. If the Almighty God is on the inside of me, how can life not be full of breakthrough and release? How can the God who, for whom nothing is impossible is in me? The difference is I need to be a person of faith. Are you learning from him or do you think you know it all? Do you feel like you've come to a certain place and you're stagnant, perhaps plateaued? And maybe you started blaming other things for that. Life circumstances, work, business, your pastor, your church. And maybe you think, if only it was like this, it would be better. That's not how it works. God has given all of us responsibility for our own walk with him. When we come together, we encourage, we strengthen. And yes, there is a responsibility on us as a church to equip, to help, to strengthen. But it's a two-sided thing. you need to want it, and I'm more than happy to help you. Yeah? If you want to grow, the best thing, for whether it's Pastor Victor or whether it's in a setting of worship or prayer, if you want it, it's much easier. If you want to know God, it doesn't matter whether you do or not. If you want it, there's a passion. If you want it, there's a zeal. If you want it, you're doing what Jesus says, is ask, seek, knock, and the door will be open to you. You need to want it. The first scripture we read was, if you seek me with your whole heart. Philippians 3 verse 12 says, this is Paul. This is someone writing who's seen a lot. He's done a lot. He's been around the block. Not that I've already obtained all this or I'm already perfect. He says, I press on. And for some of us who have been around a bit longer, how is your pressing on going? And I'm saying that not out of, what are you doing? I'm saying out of is, there is still more. Now, sometimes we use that phrase and we already get tired of that phrase because I know there's always more. No. But seriously, there is more that God has for you. Seriously, there's a greater level of prayer. There's a greater level of faith. There's a greater release of joy. Now, if you sit there hearing that, yeah, I know that, move on, you probably haven't got it yet. Because in His presence, there's fullness of joy. There's fullness of life. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So if there's anything in your life that feels a bit bound and restricted, there's some potential for freedom. Amen? So we need to come to Him and say, God, thank you, there's a greater level. Thank you, there's a greater place. So how do we seek and find Him? We keep doing it. We keep doing it. We come with humility. We come with faith. And we say, God, I'm having it. The Word says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So I'm not going to be burdened. The Word says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, there's freedom. So I'm not going to suffer with this addiction. I might need someone to stand with me, but I'm not having it. Does that make sense? What you're doing is you're rising above. Is that okay? Is this helping anyone? Okay, then I'll do a bit more. I want to talk about rhythm. Not because Sammy is here, but it's nice that you were playing cajon earlier. But who knows that rhythm in music is like, I don't want to say everything because there are styles of music that are just, you know, whatever. But rhythm is good, right? Rhythm, especially if you're, and I myself actually have African ethnicity and background, so there's rhythm in my blood. There's just something about it that makes you move and tick, right? Yeah, some of you are smiling. Some of you are like, I have no idea what you're talking about. You have harmony, melody, rhythm. Rhythm is the thing that makes us groove, that makes us walk, that even when you don't realize it, you start nodding along. But there's also rhythm in your week, isn't there? You're here today. You probably come most Sundays. There's a rhythm. You probably have a certain pattern at work. You're either working shifts 4 days on, 4 days off, or maybe you have an 8 o'clock start. Whatever your rhythm, what is your rhythm with God? Because if you built it into your weekly rhythm, you set yourself up for success. I also found, you know, I said, I'll keep seeking, keep finding. You need to build it in. You need to make an intentional choice to say, I'm going to block out some time there. And you might start with 5 minutes, 10 minutes, that's great. You might be 20 minutes, it doesn't matter. But make sure you've got a block there and you say, that time I've put in there is non-negotiable. I'm going to be praying. I'm going to try. I'm going to seek God. Or I'm going to call someone to help me. When we don't have rhythm, music falls apart. And when we don't have a rhythm in our week that includes God, what happens to our week? You might go to the same appointment, but you're different. You don't have that strength. You don't have that encouragement. But when we build God in, so every morning I'm up, even if I'm tired, and my wife will make sure I'm up because the alarm goes off. And I'm sitting there at a certain time. You pick your own time. I've got a time and I wake up every morning. And you know what? After you've done it sometime, it's just part of your week. If you're into sports, you know, if you don't exercise, you're not going to grow. Okay? So that is not a thing of a burden, that is a life-giving path. So when Jesus says, come and learn from me, and He goes away to spend time with the Father, we should look at that and go, there's a clue. Okay? That is not a Christian religious heavy thing. That is a path to life. Show me the path of life. David prays, lead me in your truth, guide me. This is a path of life. And if you build that in, whether it's 10 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour, whatever it is, you built in coming here on a Sunday, you built in being part of your core groups, your small groups, whatever you do, You build it in because you set yourself up for a healthy Christian life, for healthy fruitfulness. And it's not a part of your life. This is the spiritual bit. Here's the rest. That influences everything else. If you have a healthy walk, if you look after that engine well, there's faith streaming into everything you do. There's faith in your workplace. You'll go in, you'll be praying, you'll be like, God, I just speak to someone today. There's a heaviness in the atmosphere. I'm not having that. Let's see that change. My boss has certain problems. They don't have the answers. I'm going to pray and see that change. That attitude's not going to come if you don't cultivate that. But if you cultivate the secret place, I'm trying to awaken your appetite afresh. If we cultivate that, the rest of your life's going to be infused with what? The life of God. The joy of the Lord. That even when in your workplace, people are just down because whatever happened, happened. You don't have to be naive and over the top, but you just carry this sense of rest, peace. Other people might lose their job. You don't have to worry. And if you do, he's got something else. But that attitude of faith doesn't come because you're coming to church. It comes because you're cultivating. Is that okay? Can we choose to cultivate? Because whether it's freedom, whether it's joy, whether it's faith, whether it's prayer, whatever it is, it starts in your engine room. It starts as we cultivate that. I know friends of mine, they went on holiday and they literally saw these submarines coming out of the water. It was apparently pretty cool. I was a bit jealous. It's fine. I was Devon as far away. I can't just go for the weekend. But these submarines coming out, and they look so cool and they're equipped. But that is how they work. There is an engine room somewhere in that thing that makes this thing go, right? How is your engine room? And God wants us to encourage us with that today. Now, I brought a little box. It's not a special box. But God gave me a few phrases that we need to destroy today. Okay? So one of the things that hinders us sometimes is a sense of restriction. Is a sense of, oh, I feel small, I feel captive, or I can't. Where's my pen? We need to scribble that out. We're not having that. Is that okay? So we're not having that. We're not having restriction. Some of it is unbelief. God doesn't love me. God doesn't accept me. That literally is not the truth. So God loves you, and you need to accept that, and you need to hear that, and your feelings might tell you otherwise. It's still not the truth. So you can now today make a decision of what you're going to believe. Are you going to believe the words that God loves me? If he died for me, you better believe he loves you. That was a lot of hard work, right? He died for you and what that means. And we only grasp such a tiny bit of what the whole thing does. But Jesus says, whether you fully get it or not, I still did it. I love you and there's so much for you. Just keep coming with me. Just keep walking with me. So we need to scribble out unbelief today. And that is a choice. Can you make that choice today? Okay, disappointment. Some of us maybe have been disappointed over time. I've tried, hasn't worked. I've heard that before. Or I've prayed and my loved one still passed away. Or I've prayed for 20 years, my family doesn't seem to change. But disappointment doesn't just rob us in that one area of our life, it robs us in others too. What decision are we going to make today? I'm not talking about being naive or ignoring the facts. I'm talking about rising above. So can we choose today to say no to disappointment? And Father, I just pray right now, I just scribble this out. And in the name of Jesus, we refuse any disappointment. And we hand that over to the healer. Lord, you are our healer. You love us so much. And I pray right now, wherever there's disappointment in any of our hearts, and if this is you, we have our eyes closed, just raise one of your hands or both of your hands just as a sign of receiving from God. And Father, I pray that you pour your love into each and every one of those hearts by your Holy Spirit. Your love heals. Your love saves. Your love delivers. It goes into all the cracks, all the dry places. It touches them. And I just release the healing of God right now. And I thank you, Lord, as those people choose today to say no to disappointment and to go on a fresh journey with you, to go again. Here we go again. Holy Spirit, thank you that you will teach them. Jesus, you said, learn from me. I will show you the way. So receive right now. Thank you, Jesus. The fourth word is the same as the other word, unbelief. I scribble it out. Does anyone want to jump on this box and see it destroyed? You actually want to do it? Come on.
Do it. Yeah, come on. This is not health and safety. What we're going to do, in the name of Jesus, okay, here's my arm if you don't fall over, okay? Yeah, come on. And we just, in the name of Jesus, we're destroying that, right? Great. Jump, make it, destroy it. Yes, we're not having it. Careful, hold it. Yeah, we're not having it. Unbelief, destroyed. Disappointment, destroyed. Anyone else? There's still a bit we can, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. There's freedom in the house, amen. There's freedom in the house, amen. Right, I'm just going to close. I'm just going to close with this. This is fun. This is fun. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, second to last scripture, Steve, I jumped a bit. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Hear this as an invitation. God says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. So God wants to have be some faith. Is that okay? Choice of faith. For he who comes to God, we've come today, we come in our own time, must believe that he is. Okay, God exists. I think we can, most of us would agree to that. That's great. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Let me read that again. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, he exists. But also he rewards those who diligently seek him. Now, someone called John Bevere, he has a great quote on this. He says, God rewards those who diligently seek him in faith, not those who casually seek him in wonder and doubt. I wonder if it's going to work. I wonder if it's going to happen. No. I know he's going to be found. Can we have that first scripture again, Steve? That very first one. And I just want to leave you with this. This is what it is, okay? So how do we seek and how do we find? We find when we believe. You will seek me and you find me when you seek me with your whole heart. We talked about that. And I will be found, declares the Lord. Let's just close our eyes again. I just pray one last prayer. Lord, I thank you for your word. Maybe just repeat this after me. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your word. Why do I say it three times? It helps me because I'm starting to intentionally say it and believe it. Thank you, Lord. Let's just pray this together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Your word says that if I seek you, I will find you. If I seek you, I will find you. If I seek you with my whole heart. So Lord, today, I choose to seek you with my whole heart. No holding back, no turning back. It doesn't matter what others think. It doesn't matter what I think in my own head. It doesn't matter what my feelings say. It doesn't matter what my family says. I'm going to seek you. And I am going to find you. Father, I thank you for every person here. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, I just have this image that he's taking all of us by the hand. He says, come on, let's go. Come on, let's go. Let's go on this adventure with God. And Father, I pray especially for those that raised their hand in the beginning when I asked, you know, who's finding this tricky, who's, you know, who needs some help. Father, I thank you by faith that you say you are always with us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. So I thank you especially for those, you take them by the hand. You say, come on, let's go. Let's figure this out together. Proverbs says, it's the honor of God to conceal a matter. It's the honor of kings to search it out. You're not just going to stumble over it. You need to go and search it out. But as you go on this journey, I feel like I believe God is saying, I'm taking you by the hand. Let me show you. Let me lead you. Are you up for that? So again, let's just raise our hands one more time, especially if you raised your hand earlier. Earlier, you raised your hand because you were struggling. Now you're raising your hand because you're receiving help.
Is that okay? Father, I thank you. You are a helper. Holy Spirit, the word for the Holy Spirit is the one called alongside us to help. Holy Spirit, help us. Holy Spirit, show us. Holy Spirit, guide us into this adventure with God. Especially those that said earlier, I'm struggling, but now they're raising their hand and say, thank you, Jesus, I'm receiving help. Thank you, Jesus, that as I seek you, I find you. If I seek you with my whole heart. Amen. Anyone happy today? Can we just stand? Can we just praise God? Can we just thank Him? Can we just thank Him? Just in your own words, something that you took from this morning. Something you took, just speak it out. Doesn't matter who hears it, who doesn't. Just say, thank you, Jesus, for this. Thank you, Jesus, for Pastor Victor, what he prayed. Thank you, Jesus, for the word and something you encouraged me with. Thank you, Jesus, for the welcome I had this morning. Just give thanks. Just give thanks for a moment. Just say thank you. That means we need to open our mouth. Come on, you can do it. You can do it. Just say thank you, Jesus, for fill in the gap. Thank you, Jesus, for... And now someone just shout out something you're thankful for. Just shout it out. Let us hear it. What are you thankful for today? You're thankful for Jesus, for life with you, abundant life. What else are you thankful for? Freedom. You're my man. What's that? His love. Anyone thankful for His love? What else are we thankful for? Mercy. Mercy is good. It's what we don't deserve, we don't get. Anyone else? Faith. What was that? Faithfulness. Adventure. Someone's up for adventure. Anyone else up for adventure? One more. Come on, one more. Joy. I didn't hear that. Life. High five. Sorry, you want to say something? Influence for Jesus. Okay, last question. Anyone felt the level of joy rise a little bit? Why? What did we do? What was the... Because we're speaking out. We're giving thanks. Okay, I'll leave you with that because we keep going. This is getting even better now. But when you give thanks by yourself or as a congregation, you lift something. You release something. You step into something new. And that influence, what I would naturally do now if we had another hour, I would say, right, let's give thanks. Let's become specific then. Let's lay hands on each other. Let's pray for each other. Let's bless each other because it unlocks something. Yeah? You up for adventure? Keep giving thanks because there is an adventure. Okay? You were thankful for His faithfulness. The more we affirm that, give thanks. It's like we see His faithfulness in our lives. Should we be people of faith? Amen. Cool. Thank you. Let's just give God a praise. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.